You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My wife at the time, I'm now divorced from my first wife, she used to ask me how I was working, what's going on, and how you doing, and I would say I don't want to talk about it, and if she pressed me, I'd punch a hole in a wall. And I'd say, I told you I don't want to talk about it. So, you know, it caused issues in the home. And I used to go downstairs in my basement. That was my little man cave. I had a bar down there. I would say, leave me alone. I'd go down there, decompress, have a couple of drinks, a few shots, whatever. Sit down there, watch a ball game, and meditate. So I was isolating myself. Not all the time, but I was doing that, especially if I had a rough day. If I saw something or something went on that I had to deal with, that, like, I was rolling around with somebody on the floor and he's trying to grab my gun. So I'm hitting him on the head with the radio so he doesn't get my gun out of my holster while I'm calling for backup. And, you know, finally backup comes, we're able to subdue the guy, and, you know, he gets arrested, and then I go home and I got to decompress from that. Thinking about how, you know, the guy could have, if he was strong enough, thank God he wasn't, he could have took the gun from me and shot me. So, you know, dealing with stuff like that, your average person doesn't deal with that. That's what I deal with more than once on the job in the Ninth Precinct. So,
I try to,
you know, as go ahead.
I try to tell people that. I say, like, we'll be sitting in the radio studio, and I'll say, if somebody drove by right now and fired a couple of shots into the radio studio, no one gets hurt. Nobody gets hurt, but for the next 10 years, you're going to have nightmares about that encounter. It's so scary. Well, can you imagine being a cop on the street and seeing all these things every day? Can you imagine being in the military and being in war where your life is threatened every 10 seconds? And when they tell you that the bomb that gets you, you never hear. And then I think about the cops in Indian River County, Vero Beach, Florida, where I remember many years ago, about 20 years ago, there was an accident out on, I think it was Route 66, and they found, you know, children were thrown from the car, impaled on a fence. And can you imagine being a cop or a fireman coming upon little children that are dead, having been thrown from the car, impaled on fence? I mean, I can't imagine. I remember one time a lawyer showed me a picture of a murder scene. He said, "You sure you want to see this?" I was young, petulant, whatever the right word is, in my 20s. And you've gone through this. I saw this horrendous, this lady who had her head blown off in her kitchen. And until this day, look, I'm talking about it now, and it's 50 years later. I can't imagine what it's like for you. Imagine some guy, you're rolling on the floor, he's trying to grab your pistol, your very life is being threatened, and all those juices that flow in your body, it's traumatizing, and it's just, the bad news is that your marriage obviously was ultimately sacrificed because of that lifestyle, right?
It was part of it, no doubt about it. It was definitely part of it. So, you know, you just said a mouthful, because everything you said, I saw and more. So not only did I see children dying, I saw little children who were raped. I saw all types of traumatic events on a consistent basis. And that's why law enforcement and first responders are like no other profession. If you're not in that profession, and if you did not serve in that profession, you cannot understand what we go through. And that's why right now I'm such a big advocate for training. And I have been trained, and I do training in PTSD, critical incident stress management, suicide awareness and prevention, all those different things. Because when I was on the job, we didn't have that. You were just told to suck it up. If you had to take off a day or two, chill out, and then come back to work. So, you know, you just said something extremely important. Traumatic events never go away. They're buried in your psyche, in your subconscious. And your brain is like a computer. It takes an imprint, a picture. And the more trauma, the more imprint that it has in your life. And unless you learn how to process that and work through it, and you work through it by releasing it, by talking about it, by getting it out. The exact opposite of what most officers do. They don't talk about it, they bury it, they hide it, and that's why there's so much trauma, PTSD, and even suicide. You know, if you look at statistics with law enforcement, most years there's more deaths by suicide than there is by line of duty. So,
that's,
you know,
horrible.
This is a real problem.
Horrible.
It's the elephant in the room, and nobody wants to talk about it. Now I'll tell you this, Rhett. Now I'm a chaplain for the Putnam County Sheriff's Department. So I live in Putnam County, New York. I pastor a church out here, MCB Church, but I'm also the police chaplain. And I was just asked to be a chaplain also for the Kent Police Department, which is the neighboring township to where I live, because they understand the need for the training and how important it is for somebody who did the job, who understands the job, and cares about the officers to be available so that when traumatic events happen and when things happen, they have somebody they could talk to. I'm also a part of another organization called First Line Peer-to-Peer Support. That's county here in Putnam. And me, other retired officers, and mental health workers, we meet monthly, and we have different initiatives for officers to deal with stress, and we also have training for them to go through, and we're working with all different departments to try to get this training incorporated on a regular basis. But I will tell you, Rhett, it's still difficult to get the training in. Not all the departments are totally open to it, and you know, we're working on that. The culture is changing. It's getting better than it was. There's no doubt about it. But there's still a stigma attached to officers who have issues, and they don't want to be labeled as mentally ill or you know, suffering from PTSD. So there's a stigma attached to that, and that's why it's so difficult to break that code of blue silence when it comes to this type of training for law enforcement. But it's so necessary, and I'm working with a lot of other people to break that barrier down now to get it more on mainstream.
Well, there's two things that work here too. And a normal person, you might just have pride. And so the officer may have pride, and he doesn't want anybody to know that he has a weakness. But also, it's important for somebody who is a cop or is in a place of authority not to show his Achilles heel. Otherwise, he becomes vulnerable to the dark side. So you've got two things that work against a cop or somebody in authority coming forward. I mean, this is why in the Bible, and now that you're a pastor, you've learned this, he confess your sins,
yes,
one to another. Confession,
yes.
Yeah. Tell us about that, Pastor.
Yeah, you know, it's great, such great scripture, right? In James 5:16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. And it's so important that release, you know, forgiveness is release. God forgave us of our sins by bringing Jesus. Jesus died for our sins. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. All right? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried for 3 days, and he rose again according to the scriptures. The completion of healing for humanity came through Christ. He took upon our sins what we couldn't do for ourselves. He did for us on the cross. But he taught us through scripture how to release stress and how to deal with stress with prayer and confession. And it's so important, even in secular training, they understand the need for confession. They understand the need to release burdens, not to hold burdens, to release burdens. Because when you release burdens, especially when you give them to God, not only is he able to take them from you, but he's also able to heal you and bring a peace that surpasses all understanding. And leading back to my testimony, Rhett, which I think would be a good segue right now, you know, as I was continuing to be toxic and getting more frustrated with myself, with the job, with what I was dealing with, even with God, I really wanted answers, but I didn't know how to get them, like a lot of people. So we go to wrong venues to get answers from wrong places, and that's why people turn to alcohol and drugs and sex and all types of other things to fill gaps and fill voids that only God can fill. So go ahead.
I just want to interrupt once in a while and say, in case you've just tuned in, We're talking with Pastor Andrew Columbia, former New York cop. He's written a book called Transformed, How God Changed the Heart of an Angry, Prejudiced Cop, by Andrew Columbia. Transformed. Okay, let's get back to your story.
Sure. So dealing with the job, dealing with pride, as you said, you know, you don't want to be exposed. That was a big issue for me. I had a huge ego back then, no doubt about it. Trying to find my way in life and find peace and balance in life was becoming more difficult on a daily basis. And, you know, I had two nicknames when I was a police officer. One was Iceman. And the reason why I was called Iceman was because I got so hard that no matter what I saw, I didn't flinch. I mean, I could eat a piece of pizza over a dead body and not flinch. And it was because I got hard. My emotions were shut down, and I learned to just, okay, this is what I have to deal with. This is how it is. So Iceman was one of my nicknames. The other nickname I had was Evil. And the reason why I had a nickname Evil was because one of the officers that I worked with, she was a female Haitian cop. And she said to me one day, Columbia, when I look in your eyes, all I see is pure evil. And I said, well, if you see evil, then call me evil. I don't care. Then I'm evil. Because I was hard. I was angry. I was hurting. And self-preservation was nothing else is going to hurt me. Nothing else is going to take me down. I'm the aggressor. I'm in control. And that's how it is. And that's how I operated as an officer. And not only did I have altercations with people on the job, but I had altercations with other officers. I got so toxic that if you looked at me the wrong way, I was going to let you have it. And there were a few scuffles I got into with other cops. I almost got suspended once. I got some time taken away from me because of bad interaction. So the toxicity in my life was increasing, and I was getting more out of control. And one of the officers that I worked with came up to me one day and he said, Columbia, you look like you're going to explode. And when he told me that, I felt I was exposed. You know, as tough Iceman, as this guy who didn't let anything affect him and, you know, was always in control. And, you know, I had this big persona, big guy, the weightlifter, the muscle-bound guy, all this. He saw right through the crap and he called me out on it. He said, you look like you're going to explode. And once he exposed me, I said, what do I do now? If he sees it, that means other people see it. What am I going to do now? And that was my day of reckoning. What happened was, that evening, I used to work security part-time in Manhattan at a big housing apartment in Harlem, New York. And I would do that part-time. It was a part-time gig to make extra money. And I would go up to the roof like 3 o'clock in the morning and lock up the roof. And I would do this.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM. It's a New Day with Rhett Palmer is sponsored in part by Mattress